All right, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvett filling in for Charlie. He is on assignment at Cal Poly today. He's going to have a lot of stories, so stay tuned for that. We talk about the State of the Union, and I think we do a very good job in this episode of breaking down what Biden is facing, how he is attacking this speech tonight, what Democrats are looking for, the different factions within his own party that he's going to be playing to and playing against, as well as Speaker Johnson. We're going to be looking at Speaker Johnson. When does he stand up? When does he sit down? When does he avoid it? When does he applaud? What are the dynamics within the Republican conference that are at play as well? We break it all down and more. You're not going to want to miss it right here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
So tonight is the big State of the Union. This will be Joe Biden's third State of the Union. And definitely his most consequential, his most controversial. And they're not getting off to a good start, folks. His staff on social media posted that it was actually the State of the Union 2023, February 7th. So they don't even have the right year. It's a mess. Everybody's commenting on how incompetent everybody is at the White House. And boy, does it seem true. And there's so many storylines this year. Being an election year, 2024, everything's hinging on November. But what's really interesting is how Joe Biden is actually really at a – he's facing off not just against rock-ribbed, hard-right Republicans, MAGA extremists. He's facing off against parties in his or factions within his own party. This is perhaps one of the more interesting storylines. Joe Biden is so terrible at his job. Not only does he have a historic disapproval ratings, but he has managed to alienate big factions within the Democrat coalition. And all of that is at play tonight. All of that is at play tonight. So I want to walk through some of these factions with you. So we know that in Michigan, for example, we had 100,000 in the Democrat primary. We had 100,000 voters mark their ballots as uncommitted. 100,000. Now remember, Trump lost Michigan, and I'll use the air quotes for you. Lost Michigan by 154,000 votes in 2020. He's got 100,000 Middle East or North African descent voters in Michigan that marked uncommitted. What is that about? It's obviously about his handling of the Israeli-Hamas conflict that's raging in the Middle East. So now they're saying they want a ceasefire. You've even got Cori Bush, who is invited a victim from the conflict, but it's not the victim that you might assume. Cori Bush is bringing Intima Salama, a dentist who claims to have lost 35 family members in the Israeli Gaza offensive. So Cori Bush is loud and proud, out against Joe Biden. Now, we also know that Joe Biden is losing young voters. This is something near and dear to our hearts here at the Charlie Kirk Show. I am not exactly sure what to make of these poll numbers. I'll be really honest with you. But Joe Biden is bleeding support from young voters, bleeding support. He cannot afford to have any slippage in this block, but he is getting massive slippage. He's got RFK to contend with. But also, according to a lot of polls, Trump is winning the youth vote right now. Trump is winning the youth vote against Joe Biden. Multiple factors. This is why you see Joe Biden attempting, even though the Supreme Court slapped him down in his first attempt to cancel student loan debt, he's using Plan Bs and Plan Cs. He's trying to chip away at it. It's not enough. He's trying to buy the votes of younger voters, and it's not enough. They are more fixated on how he's handling Israel. And by the way, just one quick note. I don't want to hear anybody complain anymore about how Trump is threatening these age-old alliances with NATO and he's a Putin puppet. You've got Kamala Harris saying Hamas needs to do what Hamas needs to do. Hamas needs to do what Hamas needs to do. So Trump is trying to put pressure on NATO. He's talking a little crap. I get it. It's not the custom that we've grown used to in American politics, where you issue all these public platitudes and you try and say nice things, but then behind closed door, you negotiate. No, Trump comes out and he says NATO better pay its bills, and it works. And yet he gets labeled as, oh, he's trying to encourage people to, or Putin to invade our NATO allies. Meanwhile, you've got Kamala Harris saying that Hamas needs to do what it needs to do against Israel. Why? Because they have a coalition that includes places like Dearborn, Michigan, which are going to factor in heavily in this election. And they are really, really putting the screws to Israel to get this ceasefire done, even though Israel doesn't want a ceasefire. It's just a fascinating, fascinating dynamic. And yet Trump is the one that's threatening alliances. We have probably no closer alliance than Israel. We could talk about that at another time, but here she is out there. So you've got young people, you've got this Dearborn, Michigan crowd that's voting uncommitted. By the way, there's 300,000 voters in Michigan alone that are either Muslim or of North African and Middle Eastern descent. It's your immigration working for you there, America. But you also have, interestingly enough, the border crisis that's spilling over for Joe Biden. John Fetterman, is this the weirdest redemption arc of all time? I'm not going to go that far. I think he's a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's basically from an economic standpoint, he's a Marxist. But this is where you're seeing this come to fruition here, come to the fore. The old school Democrats, the old school libs did not want unfettered mass immigration. Why? Bernie Sanders doesn't like it. Why? Because it drives down the wages of native workers. This is something that has now become a central plank of the conservative and the Republican Party. But John Fetterman's looking at it and saying, I want HR2. If you throw in an exception for DACA, I want HR2. Now, HR2 is a very tough border bill passed by the Republican House. You have John Fetterman saying that. So you've got sort of Joe Biden facing these headwinds to the center left from the John Fettermans of the world. And then you also have the Hispanic caucus, the Congressional Hispanic caucus, that's outraged administration and other Democrats failed to engage them in the border talk. Now they're mad that the now dead, thankfully, bipartisan, and I'm going to use air quotes on that too, border bill went too far in modifying asylum claims. So Joe Biden is in a very, very precarious position. And a lot of that is going to come to the fore tonight at the State of the Union. Interesting to see how he's going to try and bring those coalitions together, or if he's going to pick one over the other. We're watching for all of that. Now, the main takeaway here is that you have a historically unpopular president. Polling is cataclysmic for the Biden administration, the Biden regime. Now, all of this, I'm assuming this Democrat coalition that's pieced together with duct tape and bubblegum would forgive Joe Biden for a lot of these sins if he was popular, if he was over 50%, but he is not. He's in the tank right now. So what are they going to do? They're going to make tonight all about abortion. Abortion, healthcare, IVF, these are going to be the things. Even though the vast majority of conservatives, probably in Congress as well, support things like IVF, as the Alabama situation brought this to the fore. The problem is, they are very strategic. They're putting these referendums on the ballot in a lot of key swing states heading into November. They're going to make this all about Republicans want to take away your freedom to abort your child.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold, and we can't quite shake it. But you're not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely on yourself. Not sure where to start? Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for $60 off. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes with My Patriot Supply. When you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship that same day. Save $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. You got to check it out right now, MyPatriotSupply.com.
Let's just remember for a second, shall we? Joe Biden turned down the Super Bowl interview. 100 million people, edited, clean, tight, very narrow window of time that he has to perform. They shoot a bunch of something into him. It's all he's got to do. 100 million people. He could have got his message out to 100 million people, chose to forego that opportunity. And instead, now we're doing this State of the Union. So if you're Biden's team, not only do you have this civil war brewing within the Democrat coalition that's fracturing massively, and some of the polling will show you just how bad it's fracturing. I want you to think about this. You've got 11 – I mentioned Michigan, but in Minnesota, these protest votes against Joe Biden, you've got 11 uncommitted delegates. In Hawaii, you've got 7 uncommitted delegates. This is starting to become a real movement. Now, these are protest votes. We don't know if these people are going to eventually come home to the Democrats or if they're going to vote for Jill Stein or they're going to vote for RFK. I could see a lot, and I mean a lot, of the younger voters going for RFK. So that is one of the dynamics to see how much he's going to try and make up the ground with abortion. Now, as a pro-lifer, for the life of me, I will never get my head around why people like to kill babies so much. I don't get it. I think it's this psychological security blanket that if something were to happen, if they were to get pregnant with an unwanted pregnancy, that they would have an out card. They would have an exit clause. And that is so important, especially to young women, which I find appalling. It's simply the fact. I think we need to, as a conservative movement, get so much better at messaging about abortion, the beauty of life. Honestly, this is why faith is so important. As we lose our faith in this country, abortion, you know, becomes more and more of a normalized thing that people can use as a get out of jail card, as they see it. It's really appalling to me. It genuinely is, and the psychology behind it is incredible, but it is a powerful, powerful voting incentive. When we talk about voting incentives for people, this is something we always talk about behind the scenes on the show, is that when you as a political movement or force or party are attempting to take something from somebody, a right, that it becomes very visceral. So it's a very challenging political thing to accomplish. It doesn't mean it's not the right thing for us to do and pursue and to keep messaging and educating, but it's very, very challenging. This is why gun rights have been such a pesky thorn in the left sides. Not only is it enshrined in our Constitution, but you're also taking a right away from gun-owning Americans. They don't like that. They will vote against that. So we have our single issue voters on our side as well. I think it's a huge opportunity, especially in the rest. When you look at Michigan, when you look at Wisconsin, when you look at Pennsylvania, there are large swaths of voters that are hunters, that are gun owners. They tend to be the types that want to stay off the grid. They don't want to necessarily get involved in the civic process and vote, and they are not registered. So at Turning Point Action, working with guys like Scott Pressler and other groups, we're working actively to register these voters and to make sure they understand that side of the aisle, the Democrats, want to take your vote, your right away to own these guns, to hunt, to exercise the freedoms that your father and your grandfather passed down to you. So these are very important deals. So basically what this is going to be, if I had to predict what's going to happen tonight, you are going to have Joe Biden lean on abortion, abortion, abortion. You're going to have all of this. And this is sort of, and, you know, and you're going to see all the infighting on their side, certainly. But that is going to be their main thing. They're going to talk about healthcare, women. They know they're making gains with women, while men are becoming more and more conservative at the younger level, especially. But across the board, that's true. So look at the Democrat guests. Rep. Judy Chu invited Caitlin Bernard, the abortionist who did an abortion on a 10-year-old after Roe got overturned. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Tim Kaine is bringing Elizabeth Carr, the first U.S. IVF baby, as if conservatives want to end IVF. The Alabama thing was just it is what it is, right? And there is a legitimate sort of debate that the right will engage in about when does life begin. But, you know, this is why Trump came out in favor of IVF so forcefully, so that it wouldn't become a cudgel on the left that we're against it.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time for me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is the perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now. AndrewandTodd.com.
Let's get into this. I'm just going to take you down memory lane, and we're going to go back to 1995. My, how the Democrat Party has changed. Cut 76. This is Bill Clinton on illegal immigration.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more.
Man, Bill Clinton. Sounds like a Republican. You listen back. 1995, that was not that long ago. 29 years ago, and the Democrat Party has completely lost its mind. Well, we can't forget this moment from Trump's State of the Union speech. Cut 75.
And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
Unreal. I actually didn't remember that she did three separate deliberate tears of the speech. And for those listening on radio, that was Nancy Pelosi behind President Trump ripping up the speech. It went viral around the world. That was quite the moment. Let's play cut 77. This is Biden when he says Iranian instead of Ukrainian in one of his many gaffes. 77.
In the battle between democracy and autocracies, democracies are rising to the moment, and the world is clearly choosing the side of peace and security. We stand with you. We stand with you. Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. He'll never extinguish their love of freedom, and he will never, never weaken the resolve of the free world.
Oh, I love that. The sort of like, wait, that was an applause line, but you flubbed it, Joe. And that is actually a real concern. So the Democrats are worried tonight whether or not Joe Biden could get pumped full of enough you know, B12 shots and then some, whatever drugs they're pumping into that. But yeah, he never corrected himself. Totally ruined the applause line. I mean, the guy is really old. And you talk about this. He's 80, 81. President Trump is 77. But man, do they just present so differently. It's pretty incredible, actually, just how feeble he really looks. His trip to the border, Brownsville, that didn't have any illegal crossings, total PR stunt. He looked doddering. He was shuffling. He just looked skinny. And anyways, so that's going to be a real something to watch here. But another thing to watch is going to be Speaker Johnson. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. So I know what our friends Steve Bannon have been saying. Charlie's been extremely critical of Speaker Johnson in a lot of ways, especially extending some of these funding packages. But we have to remember, ask yourself this, could we get better than Speaker Johnson in our current dynamic, in our current context? I mean, send us emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear your thoughts. Could we get better than Speaker Johnson? I do believe that Speaker Johnson is a rock-ribbed conservative. He is trying to keep a two-seat majority intact, which means he has to deal with the Don Bacons of the world, which are basically, you know, Democrats, but they're in the Republican caucus, and so we're trying to work with these to keep things together. Now, I know a lot of people want to shut the government down. I want that, selfishly. But there are, and we've gotten this from sources inside the conference, that say that the polling is so bad on that we would lose the House in November if we shut it down. So I understand. I want to shut it down. The fact that we're spending a $1 trillion, we're running $1 trillion deficits every 100 days to 6 months is absolutely unacceptable. 100%. I'm with you on all those things. We have to do it. Can we do it now? Can we do it now with this current composition of Congress? It's a very, very challenging dynamic for Speaker Johnson. He genuinely might have the hardest job in America. Newt Gingrich, I'm told, called Speaker Johnson and said, I could not succeed in your job, in his current play, in its current context and dynamic. That's Newt Gingrich, who helped balance the budget, who helped push Bill Clinton, who we just saw in that clip, to the middle. It's a very, very challenging position. Now, the latest offense is the House on Wednesday night passed six consolidated spending bills as one package. We call this the minibus, which will keep about half the government funded through next fall. The bill passed 339-85. It was basically there was two Democrats that voted against it, and the rest were conservative Republicans in the House. So that's no shutdown, and of course, no fix to the border. So this is what Mike Johnson said. He said, quote, we only control one half of one third of the federal government, so we have to be realistic about what we're able to achieve. Now, again, the thing that is playing in the back of their minds is the fact that the polling is abysmal on shutting down the government. I could care less about shutting down the government. It's not a real shutdown. You know, basically the world will go on. Nobody will notice the difference except for a very few select people in Congress or in government. But there are this is the real offensive thing. So there are about $12 billion in earmarks. $12 billion in earmarks. There's 6,000 earmarks, and there's about 100 with Dianne Feinstein's name on them, even though she's dead. This is how broken Washington is. $3.5 million for Detroit's Thanksgiving Day parade. Again, they're trying to buy votes in Michigan. $2.7 million for a bike park in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, which is, you know, essentially giving them $1,200 $1,200 for every resident of the city. And there's more. I mean, they were trying to get this kinky sex thing club funded. Anyways, Republicans did manage to remove a policy at the VA, which put a flag on veterans in the federal gun background check system if they were found incompetent to handle their finances. one of those foot-in-the-door policies that the left likes to get into to basically start a nationwide gun tracking system. So it's you know, there was a few wins. You know, I guess the deal keeps domestic spending flat while slightly raising military spending. It does have cuts to the ATF, FBI, and some environmental programs. But Johnson's got a tough job. That's my big takeaway is Johnson's got a tough job. If the polling is correct, now I genuinely want to hear from the audience on this. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Would you rather Speaker Johnson try and thread the needle right now, avoid the government shutdown, and in so doing, regain power in November, where we can actually cut the size of government, where we can actually work with hopefully President Trump to rein in this weaponized intel agencies, weaponized justice system? Or would you rather he just shut it down right now to hell with the consequences? Now, there's a lot of people that say just shut it down right now. And I'm right in the middle with you. It's a debate worth having. But I'm telling you from sources in Congress that I speak with, they are all seeing the polling that they will lose the House majority, as slim as it is. They will lose it in November if they move forward with a burn it all down approach right now. It's a conundrum. It's tough. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe Republicans, you know, would have a slightly better deal if we hadn't kicked a Republican out of the House and handed a seat to a Democrat. Maybe we should have thought about that. Instead of playing the left's virtue signaling game, it's a risk reward calculation that we need to be pragmatic about, in my opinion, but I want to hear from you.
Hey, everybody. There is an eagerly awaited release of Cabrini in theaters on March 8th, International Women's Day. It's an amazing film. I saw it the other day. It is incredible. It's like The Godfather, but better. From Angel Studios and Alejandro Monteverde, award-winning director of Sound of Freedom, comes the powerful true story of Francesca Cabrini, an Italian immigrant who arrives in New York City in 1889 and is greeted by disease, crime, and impoverished children. Cabrini is not merely a movie, it is a tribute to the spirit of women everywhere. It tells the story of a trailblazer, a visionary whose tireless dedication to serving others transcend boundaries and inspire generations. On this International Women's Day, we can honor Cabrini's enduring legacy by celebrating the countless contributions of women throughout history. Mark your calendars for March 8th and join me in theaters to experience the extraordinary journey of Mother Cabrini, a celebration of courage, compassion, and the triumph of the human spirit.
All right, so this whole talk about Speaker Johnson, I mean, the emails are flooding in. It's interesting to be in Charlie's position when the emails start flowing in and we really tap a vein of what people are thinking about. I would say it was probably two to one, shut it down. There was probably about 30% of the audience, 33% of the audience that wants to give Mike Johnson a little bit of leash. But you got to remember, so when this poll comes out, it's basically like 70-30. That Republicans will be blamed and it will affect our House, the ability for us to get a House majority in November. Now, Trump's coattails are certainly a thing. Biden's low approval rating is going to factor into all of this. So who knows how it will play out. But when they take this single issue, it's very clear that it's not helpful. Okay. It's a multivariate equation. We have to be thinking on a multivariate level. So I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion that if you shut it down, we lose the House. I'm saying that it seemingly contributes to a scenario where we wouldn't keep the House. Now, what do you do if Trump gets elected and we don't have the House of Representatives? Well, he's going to get impeached again. They're going to throw subpoenas at everybody. It's incredibly important that we hold the House. So it's, you know, I'm just being real with you guys that this is what the political calculation is. Can we stumble along with some semblance of sanity? Now, remember, Speaker Johnson also blocked the Ukraine extortion bill for $60 billion. So hat tip to him on that. It is a, you know, that 30%, when I say it's about 70-30, the people that make up this audience are in that 30. You know that the shutdown is garbage. You know that it's not really a shutdown. You know that, practically speaking, it would be better for the country to stop spending trillions of dollars it doesn't have and shut it down to get concessions on the border. Politically and pragmatically speaking, we have to deal with the reality that most Americans do not understand that. Most Americans are uneducated about that. We do our best on this show to educate everybody. Now, if everybody was as smart as you are in this audience, we would shut it down immediately and you'd be hearing me be the loudest voice in the room. I absolutely want to shut it down. But I do concede the point that the American people are not necessarily on board with that. It's something that's kind of the same conversation that we have with abortion. The American people are not necessarily on the same page as you and I in this audience. I'm pro-life as it comes. Charlie is as pro-life as it comes. The question is politically, how do you navigate that in an effective way? How do you communicate that in an effective way so you don't get shellacked at the polls and have zero power to do anything that you want and make any progress that you want? So, yeah, I mean, it's the political calculus is tricky. Speaker Johnson might have the toughest job in the country right now. I don't know. I think the only one that might have a tougher job is Donald Trump's lawyers and Joe Biden. It's incredibly tricky. All right. So one last thing I want to hit. Okay. Oh, and by the way, I will say this, though. If Speaker Johnson gets up out of his chair to like clap for, you know, some spending, that's going to look terrible for him. Terrible. And that's one of the things I'm going to be watching for. You know, this whole like State of the Union calisthenics where you got to get up and down, you got to get up and down and clap about everything every 5 seconds. That will look terrible. So Speaker Johnson, please do not clap for new spending. Americans are done with it. We're done with it. I want to make one last note here because we're talking about who's coming tonight. So look at we mentioned some of the Democrat guests. Cori Bush bringing a Gazan who's lost family members, the abortionist who did an abortion on a 10-year-old. I mean, it's just their playbook is very, very obvious. All right. So Republican guest, House Speaker Mike Johnson is going to be bringing Chloe Cole, the detransitioner that we've had on this show. He's also going to be inviting the parents of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, who's imprisoned in Russia. Tucker asked Putin to release him. I guess sort of to argue that Biden only cares about WNBA players or something. Both parties are jointly welcoming 17 relatives of Hamas hostages held in Gaza. Elise Stefanik is bringing a Border Patrol agent, Brandon Budlong. Mike Collins invited Lake and Riley. He's from Georgia, invited Lake and Riley's parents, but they declined. So instead, he's going to have an empty seat in honor of Lake and Riley, who was murdered at the hands of an illegal immigrant. And Matt Gaetz is bringing former Green Beret John Frankman, who got pushed out of the service over the COVID-19 vaccine mandates. So a lot to look for. I think we did a pretty darn good job, a decent overview of what the dynamics at play are tonight and who's going to be saying what and how and what to look for. Or you could just not watch and we'll tell you all about it tomorrow. That's fine too. I mean, I'm all about seeing the ratings tank for Joe Biden tonight. So there's that.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.